Deze podcast is mede mogelijk gemaakt door Polestar. Elektrisch rijden staat niet stil. Beleef het zelf eens en boek je testrit met de nieuwe Polestar 2 op polestar.com. Polestar en de Donkere Kamer gaan voor een duurzame samenwerking. Hallo en welkom bij een nieuwe aflevering van de Donkere Kamer podcast. Ik ben Kaat Celis, jouw host van deze podcast. We zijn er eventjes tussenuit geweest, een soort van paaspauze. Maar dat wil absoluut niet zeggen dat de Donkere Kamer stil lag. Wel, integendeel. We zijn achter de schermen ongelooflijk hard aan het werk aan de tentoonstelling die wij komende zomer gaan organiseren. Water heet die tentoonstelling en dat is een tentoonstelling van de Canadese gerenommeerde fotograaf Edward Bertinsky. Hij is water, eigenlijk de bron van alles, het goud van onze toekomst, gaan vastleggen op 5 verschillende continenten, ook in Europa. En dat resulteerde in een prachtig portfolio aan fotografie. Confronterend soms ook. Er komt ook een nieuw boek uit dat wij op dit moment aan het maken zijn. Dus daar zijn we gewoon ontzettend druk mee bezig. Ook zijn we nog verdere podcast-interviews aan het opnemen, maar we hebben absoluut niet stilgezeten. En wil je meer weten over de tentoonstelling? Alle informatie vind je op waterexpo.be. Vandaag zoom ik in op hoe je kan leren van anderen. Hoe je eigenlijk zelf niet altijd het wiel hoeft uit te vinden, maar hoe je heel veel kan opsteken van andere fotografen die al daar zijn waar jij absoluut naartoe wil. Die al daar zijn waar dat jouw dromen zich bevinden. En hoe je dus kan groeien. Enkel door te kijken naar die fotografen die al daar zijn. En nadien uiteraard te gaan implementeren, te gaan produceren. Maar dus het pad bewandelen wat de anderen voor jou hebben voorgedaan. En het is niet de bedoeling dat je dan klakkeloos zaken gaat kopiëren. Maar het is goed je wel bepaalde principes eigen te maken. Geïnspireerd te worden door het werk van anderen, dat dat weer zaadjes in jouw hoofd plant. En soms is het ook handig om te horen hoe sommige, soms bekendere fotografen ook geworsteld hebben of soms nog steeds worstelen met bepaalde stukken in hun eigen business. Dat succes ook soms relatief is en dat ieder op zijn eigen niveau bepaalde stukken moet aankijken. En daarom deel ik nu een stukje uit de masterclass met de Nederlands documentaire fotograaf Ylvie Nieuwkiekjen. Ylvie is de voorbije jaren ongelooflijk uitgegroeid tot een vaste waarde in het internationale fotolandschap. Door haar eigen intuïtie te volgen, door haar eigen ideeën te volgen, door vooral een heel eigen stijl te ontwikkelen en bepaalde conventies, regels, wetten niet zomaar klakkeloos over te nemen, maar echt te gaan staan voor wie ze is, voor wie ze wil zijn en voor waar dat ze naartoe wil. Ze is ook al jaren lid van het gerenommeerde 7 Agency fotoagentschap. Dus ik zou zeggen, lean back en luister een stukje mee.
But very early on in my career, I went to Africa, to several different countries, to the DRC, to Angola, to South Africa. And I worked on stories there that really fall in the category of contemporary issues. At the time, I didn't know what a contemporary issue was. My first language is not English, it's Dutch. So I had never heard of the term. This was Ukraine last year. The reason I'm telling you about the contemporary issue, and we'll get to it just now, is because when I won an award, like Kat said, at the World Press Photo in 2012, I won in the category contemporary issues. And this was actually a turning point in my career, not only because the prize was amazing, beyond amazing, I won it with the Africa work that I'm going to show you, but it was amazing for a whole different reason. It was the moment when I learned about the term contemporary issue. And as you can hear, when Kat read out my biography, I now call myself a photographer who focuses on contemporary social issues. But when I won in the category contemporary issues, I didn't know what it was and I had to Google it. And I learned that contemporary issues are current issues that are about social things that are happening around the world. So when I saw the list of topics that entailed contemporary issues, I realized, oh, these are all the topics that interest me. And this gave me a great start in my career because I could finally feel that it was going to be easier to work on stories because I knew where to go. I knew I was interested in these topics. So basically, I had a whole long list of very rough ideas. I knew I was interested in globalization. I knew I was interested in equal rights, in education reform, in human rights, in gun control. All the issues that you see mentioned here, there's another one, climate change, education, criminal justice reform. There are many in there that I did stories in the last 20 years. And it was all because of the World Press putting me into that category. The reason I'm telling you this is that often when I give lectures or I teach a lot of workshops as well, students ask me, so where do you get your ideas? I usually get them from just hearing an idea. It can be anywhere, in the media, watching television, reading a magazine, being on Instagram, where I should spend a lot less time. But even when looking at reels, I sometimes think, hey, that could be a topic. But I always know that by nature, I'm interested in the topics that you are now seeing in front of you, the contemporary issue topics. So what I do is I narrow these big topics. They're all too big to pitch to media, right? If you're going to say to a newspaper or a magazine, hey, I'm going to do a story about bullying. The editor will look at you and say, okay, what story? Because it's too broad. So then you have to narrow it down to a way more specific story about bullying or about animal rights or anything else that you see in here. And the way I try to make it more narrow it down is I write down the quick ideas I have when I am, for instance, reading a newspaper. I write them down in my phone. I have a long list. It's an endless list because I literally started the list in 2006. Back then it was a written list. Now I put everything into my phone. A lot of it back then was about Afghanistan because the war was going on, but I leave everything on the list. So I would really advise people to do that. We're going to get into that now. But find something that matches you, because especially if you are working on a long-term story, you cannot work, even if it's short-term, it's very difficult to work on something if it's not your whole heart that's in it. A lot of the stories, when I say long-term, my longest term story on African, South African youth is now in the 16th year, 16 years. I just finished a story on co-housing, which was also published in Stern. I worked on it for 3 years. So long is very long, and you can only do it if you are very interested in something, right? Okay, the growing list of ideas, just write things down. They don't have to become a project right away, but maybe in 10 years or 20 years or 5 years, it will be. What I really like to do is to cooperate with my stories, with others. I try to find writers that are interested in the same topics. I try to find photographers that are interested in the same topics. I've also worked alone very much, and I'm very much done with that as well, because it's nice to share ideas, and it's also nice to reach out to different media outlets, and it's much easier if you have a big network. I can imagine some of you might be thinking, how do I get a big network? First of all, I can tell you I hate networking. I'm not good at it. I don't look shy, maybe, but I am a bit shy. So when I'm at a networking event, I'm the person standing in a corner with the two people I know. And I really hope I don't have to talk to anyone else. But I have to, and I really try to push myself in these events. I try to at least go and meet one or two people, an editor, a writer, and talk about a project you're working on, ask them what they're working on, to create this group of people around you that are interested in similar topics, which really helps when you're working on something. Point four, specialize yourself. It is something I did more in the really early part of my career, that it really helped me. I specialized myself in Africa, but it also came around and kind of made trouble for me, because I realized that some editors started thinking my camera only works in Africa and I cannot photograph in Asia, for instance, or I can only photograph certain topics. And of course, that's also not the case. So I would say, put the word out there. When I say specialize, I mean, put it on your website. If you look on my website, you will see a lot of it is about South Africa. It's because I want photo editors, galleries, photo festivals, I want them to know, I want them, if they think about South Africa, I want them to think about me as well. So put it on your website, put it on your social media, focus on those stories, work on it, tell people about it, tell them when you will be in South Africa. For instance, I do that all the time. I will tell people, I would love to meet, I would love to come to the newsroom, but I'm going to South Africa in March. So just keep putting the word out there, the topic you are working on. Doesn't matter what it is, but put the word out there. And if you would like to work for media, and I know not all of you in here would like that, but if you do, it's very important, of course, to follow the current issues, mainly because when you're pitching, and we'll get to that in the end, every pitch you do to media has to somehow be linked to the news. I have been working in South Africa for 16 years. If I pitch that out of the blue, everyone's going to say, no, we've seen that work. We don't want to publish it. We don't want to publish it again. There's no reason for us to focus on South Africa. But this year, the upcoming, this year now, is 30 years after Mandela became the president of the country. That's news. It's, you kind of have to keep this little agenda running specifically to your topic. So if there is a little, it's not even news, but it's 30 years anniversary, it's enough for media to focus on the topic again. So that would be my advice for you, to keep the current issues in the back of your mind.
Als je de rest van de masterclass wil horen, dan kan je die voor een heel zacht prijsje, het gaat echt nergens over, aankopen in onze shop. De volledige masterclass duurt 1,5 uur en vind je gewoon op donkerekamer.com/masterclasses. Je kan die dan vinden in het Engels ondertiteld of in het Nederlands ondertiteld. Of, wie weet, wil je live bij de volgende online masterclass zijn. Die vindt vanavond plaats om 8 uur met documentaire fotograaf Nick Hannes. Hij gaat praten over hoe je kan fotograferen in de stad, in publieke ruimtes. Dat zijn echt plekken die eigen wetten hebben, die eigen regels hebben als het aankomt op fotograferen daar. En Nick vertelt er jou alles over. Het is ook echt wel zijn... zijn habitat. Ja, dat is het woord dat ik zocht. En als je er live bij bent, dan kan je aan Nick ook je persoonlijke vragen stellen vanavond. Als dat niet lukt, maar je bent toch geïnteresseerd in de masterclass, dan krijg je nadien de replay in je mailbox voor enkele dagen. Dus dat heeft wel beperkte toegang. De masterclass zelf is in het Engels. De replay wordt nadien in het Nederlands naar je toegestuurd. Stel nu dat je deze podcast na 18 maart beluistert, dan is er de volgende masterclass ingepland op 23 mei met Adriana Zebroskas. Of andere, als je veel later luistert, dan check je best even donkerekamer.com/masterclasses. Zo, dit was hem. Tot een volgende keer.